Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast. Mr.
Sandman, you get the idea? Bring me a
dream. It's on the internet. Cutest that
I've ever seen. Go on. Give him two
lips like roses. It's a great program. And tell him
that his lonesome nights. Here's the Sandman.
You've worked hard the last 20 or 30 years at it. You're now finally making some profits. And someone has just come along and offered you some money. A lot of money. What should you do? What am I talking about? Well, your business, of course. Is now the time to sell your business and cash out? After all, rates are rising. The market's been bouncing all over the place. And things seem a little uncertain. Selling your business could be one of the most important decisions of your life. If you're thinking of selling your business, then you need an exit strategy so you don't make a big mistake. So if that's you, clear your schedule for the next hour as I walk you through some things you need to consider before you put your business up for sale. Good morning. I am David Hollander, your host, and this is Protect Your Assets. For those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman. You hear the jingle, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions each week. And that's because I am an attorney and a financial advisor, been running a firm for almost 30 years now. So if you own a business and you're thinking about what the next chapter may look like for you, you know, life after owning your business, then you definitely want to listen to today's show because I'm going to put it out there. This show is about removing uncertainty. You've had your head down the last 10, 20, maybe even 30 years building your business. You've taken all the risk, leveraged your assets, maxed out credit cards when times were tough to keep your people employed, and now you're finally making a profit. Well, the private equity just picked up the phone and called you, or maybe it was a competitor. And they want to buy your business. So what should you do? How do you prepare for something like that? What steps do you need to take right now before you start that conversation? Or if you've already signed a letter of intent, also known as an LOI, what do you need to do right now? Well, listen, if you're feeling fearful, if you're feeling unclear, anxious about this decision, it's because you don't have a crystal clear plan for each step. Yes, I'm talking about before and most importantly, after the sale, after that money hits your bank account, then what? Uncertainty breeds fear and fear breeds doubt. This can cause you to make bad decisions. Well, don't stress. We have answers for you today. And that's because on today's show, we'll walk you through exit strategies for business owners when you're ready to sell your business. Now, let's get started. Well, markets sure had a move this week. Stocks this week saw the biggest gain and the biggest one-day loss than we've seen for the entire year. S&P 500 didn't finish off too badly. It was off 0.2% for the week, down year-to-date 13.5%. Yeah, ouch. Dow was off 0.2% as well. It's off 9.5% for the year. NASDAQ down 1.5%. To be down 22.4% year to date. That's really where the pain has been. I'll talk about that in a minute. Oil closed at 110.51 a barrel, up 46.9% for the year. And bonds still getting hurt, down 10% for the year. So what happened? Well, stocks came for sale this Thursday. Markets were shrugging off the Powell commentary, which I'll get to in a minute. We've been waiting for that, as you know, Cinco de Mayo. And began to price in. The market was doing this all by themselves, pricing in a 75 basis point rate hike for June, even though that's not what Chairman Powell said. So the S&P 500 fell 3.56% in one day. Now, what drove that? Well, China's PMI, this is their services PMI, it crashed. I mean, it was just a flat out boom. And this was because of the detrimental effect their zero COVID policy and lockdowns has been having on these estimates. So that those numbers showed it. Boom, bad data. Market didn't like it. You add to that, there was productivity and cost data showing declines in output because there's nothing to or slowdown in goods that we make here, right, than producing things. So that was a problem, showing a slowdown there. And despite Powell's comments, the futures market started to price in a 75% chance of a 75 basis point rise in June. Now, that's what's so interesting. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So that dynamic also saw a downside in not only stocks, but bonds as well. And stocks made new lows, with the S&P 500 down nearly 5% in a day and the NASDAQ down 6% before there was a little bit of a bounce. Now, what should you make about last week? I got a lot of questions about this. So let's talk about it. Volatility in the market, it's nothing new. We've been talking about that, but it exploded this last week. And I want to start out by saying nothing in Powell's commentary Wednesday was good enough to cause that 2% rally that we saw that afternoon. What I think drove that was short covering and fast money funds and traders, period. Similarly, nothing really justified that 5% drop on the NASDAQ on Thursday. There was some negative news, sure. Tech earnings were bad, highlighted by SHOP collapsed down 15%. That caused more selling in the tech space. And it's notable that while the NASDAQ and the Vanguard Growth were down 5% that day, the Dow and the Vanguard Value were down just 3% and 2% respectively. So my point is that tech remains the driver of these wild moves. But outside of tech, the declines are pretty manageable. In addition to the bad tech earnings, the Bank of England hiked rates and warned explicitly of looming economic slowdowns. U.S. economic data was bad. As I talked about, the productivity dropped and unit labor costs rose. And like I said earlier, one of the main reasons I think for Thursday was Chinese economic data was just flat out horrid. And Chinese authorities continue to defend their zero COVID policy. So we can count on China to export slower growth and supply chain madness for the foreseeable future. Again, were these negatives worth a 5% drop in the NASDAQ or a 3.5% drop in the S&P 500? No, not fundamentally, but this is a very jittery market. And bottom line is we're going to continue to expect this type of high volatility given just the uncertainty of what's out there right now. So what did the Fed's decision Wednesday mean for the markets? We've been talking a lot about this. Well, first of all, as you heard, I'm sure it's all over the place, the Fed said they were going to raise rates 50 basis points, 0.5%. And this is the first time in a long time we've seen that back to back. And the reason the market liked it Wednesday was that Chairman Powell, instead of saying, you know, that he was going to continue this 75 basis point hike in the future, basically said that wasn't on the table going forward. And that was a revelation, which I think was deliberate, because this was following their previously announced quantitative tightening of $95 billion a month starting in September and some optimistic commentary on inflation. So this may be what we call Fed max hawkish, meaning that right now this is as bad as it's going to get. And so if that's it, then that reveals a positive potentially out there, and I'm going to say out there for stocks, overall call it the medium and longer term. Because if the Fed talks tough on inflation, yet they don't raise rates as much as feared, then we have a natural backing off of inflation based on supply chain fixes, slowing growth. And then that scenario where inflation drops, say, to the 3-4% range and the economy doesn't go into recession, that outcome is positive for what we call inflation-linked assets, stocks, commodities, hard assets like real estate, and I'll talk about oil and gas and gold here in a minute. And theoretically speaking, a return to the old highs in the outcome shouldn't be ruled out 100%. Now, I'm not saying that what's going to happen, because I think it's too early to tell, and I'm not flip-flopping on my 4,200 to 4,600 S&P target for 22. But what I'm saying is that the market has priced in a lot of Fed rate hikes, and if the Fed is talking tough but doesn't actually hike as much as expected, then inflation will stay elevated but not crazy high, and that's a long-term tailwind for stocks, commodities, and real assets. So continue to keep your eyes on what the Fed says. Russia-Ukraine war, obviously, and what China's going to do with the COVID lockdowns. Those are the three headwinds right now in stocks. So technically right now, we did breach that level I've been talking about on the S&P 500 this week. So that's not good. The support level was breached. And so the next support would be 4063, if you're keeping track of it, 4063. What's working right now, outperforming right now? Value, cyclicals. We've been talking about that for a long time. Nothing new there. What's underperforming? Tech, growth stocks. So just, you know, be aware of that. As higher interest rates go, that's a headwind on tech, and it's a rotation from growth to value, point and simple. And then we've been talking about that. Now, what about commodities? Gold. Gold did move to new highs. However, once future markets began to price in that 75 basis point hike on Thursday, like I talked about, then the gold started to come up for sale, and it reversed course and fell back to the new support level of 1870. And gold is in a pullback in an otherwise uptrending market, but there are cracks emerging in that, and the headwind on the strengthening dollar and rising rates remain a big threat for gold medium term. Now, natural gas futures rallied another 3.89%. This was a big deal. 14-year highs right now. We just saw short of $9, what they call MMBTUs. This is incredible. That's a tremendous drive overall in that. And hot weather boosting power demand. Multiple parts of the world is driving some of this. But on the charts, this is just new highs after new highs after new highs. So, again, there's places of success in the market. You just have to be diversified, and you have to know where to go to get it. And that's the reason why it's important to have somebody guiding your ship. And if you're not sure you've got the right person right now or people, then you want to give us a call. Anyway, are you considering selling your privately owned business? Well, if you are, and you want to find out what specific steps you should be considering right now before you take that big plunge, keep it tuned right here. When we come back, we're going to talk all about that. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. I'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show, Protect Your Assets, hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. If you own a business and you're thinking about what the next chapter may look like for you, you know, life after owning and running your business, then you'll definitely want to stay with us for the entire show today, because we're going to be walking through what business owners need to know before they sell their business. That reminds me, if you missed any of the commentary this morning, the market segment in particular, markets have been very volatile. And rates, bond stocks, they're all under pressure right now year to date. And if you're looking for some good fixed interest, we do have something right now that's paying 3.45%. That rate is effective as of this past week. Rates do change, but it's a three-year fixed product that's insured by an insurance company backed by their claims paying ability. And if you're looking for just return on your money as opposed to it sitting there doing nothing, give us a call at 866-PROTECT. Are you looking for the right exit strategy at the right price for your business? Well, if so, you are at the right place this morning, because we need to figure that out. So what is the right price? Well, first, you have to start with understanding what is your business really worth? Not to you, but to somebody else out there who may want to buy it. I get into a lot of discussions with clients who think it's worth something, but then they come to find out the market's an entirely different animal. And sometimes it can be positive. Some people think it's worth X and it's actually worth triple X. I've seen that happen several times. So you have to figure that out. Often the business is your largest asset, and the decision to sell it could have some really big financial ramifications to your life. Could literally change your life, could have serious tax problems, and you may end up with a lot less money than you thought. So just waking up one day and wanting to sell your business at a moment's notice would be a big mistake, but it happens. I recommend that you have a plan to sell your business in place, even if you're not thinking of selling it, that you can execute if something were to happen. Now, on your team, I recommend you have a business attorney. You should have a tax professional, hopefully a CPA, financial planning person who does plans. So that way you can put together a plan to look at how this whole transaction and then the life after will go. The best way to start to find out what your business is worth, well, you can have your business attorney or your team hire an expert who is in your line of work. Think about it like a business broker. I have found that most service type businesses sell for typically 2 to 3 times their gross earnings. Other businesses could sell for more or less than that, but what we need to find out is what is your business worth before you start the process of preparing to sell it, because it may not be worth your while. Once the decision has been made that it's worth selling, which you're going to walk away with a nice chunk of cash, then the first thing we usually help you do is clean up your books and get them ready for sale before you put that business up for sale. We typically recommend that owners separate the owner's business expenses from, say, their specific business owner's expenses. Like what? Well, like your cell phone, your car. These are things that can be on your P&L, and you don't need those there. Why would you take them off? Well, because these costs getting removed from there will drive up your gross income, and that will help you get a higher price when you go to sell it. But also the potential buyer will get a much better idea of what the company's finances are like when you're not there. This will also help you start to get a better idea of what your expenses might look like in retirement, because that cell phone bill won't be picked up anymore by the company. Now, the accounting firm that you may want to hire as well could do an audit. So we typically recommend that you have your finances audited, especially if you do, say, QuickBooks or something like that yourself. Because an outside review by an accounting firm gives buyers more confidence in the financials that we're going to have to turn over to them. And the accounting firm you hire should be able to produce quality reports that really any serious buyer we're going to talk to is going to look for those anyways during the due diligence period. It's not really a full audit, but it validates your company's reported earnings and identifies the expenses. Maybe they're one time, maybe there's some other adjustments out there that show that your business is really more profitable than it may look at the moment. So maybe you had a bad year. I mean, all these things do happen. So this also gives you an expert that you can point to who can, you know, back up any claims or concerns that the buyer may have during the due diligence period. You can say, well, like, this is an independent accountant, and these are numbers. So this is going to be part of the discussion for sure. And without that help, it's like going to a gunfight and all you have is a knife. That's about what you're looking at there. So selling a business can take anywhere from 2 months to 5 years. Starting early gives you time to adjust, and this could result in a better sales price for you. I'd make sure that you have employee confidentiality agreements in place and vendor contracts, and have those all organized and available electronically. Having the right insurance to protect the officers and directors, D&O insurance it's called, in the event of a lawsuit after the sale is also important. So you want to have a tail on that. Another way to think about this process, it's like selling your house. Think about this. If you're selling your house, if you want to get more money, what do? Well, you paint it. You may change the flooring in there. You may redo the kitchen or the bathroom, again, with not the best appliances. But, you know, nice appliances. And so this is something that is very much like your business. You're kind of sprucing it up in the same sort of way. So ask yourself a question. I know you're busy. Do you have the time to get all these things in order? Well, we can help you with a simple roadmap to get as much for your business as possible. Then once you go to sell it, we can show you how to convert that large chunk of money that you're going to receive into a lifestyle that can last your lifetime, and show you how to then transfer that wealth to your children and maybe even grandchildren tax-free for as long as the money will last. So there's lots of great ways to do this, and it certainly should be part of the discussion. I find many people don't get into that. They just look at the deal, and then once the deal's over, that's it, and they wonder, now what do I do? So it's very much, I think, part and parcel of the entire process to know what life looks like after. Because I get it. I deal with these kind of situations every week. In my office, I have a corporate attorney who has over 30 years of M&A experience, is all he's been doing for a very long time. I have a team of CPAs and EAs and financial planners in our office. These are all my employees who can map out your future before you go to sell your business. So if you're a private business and you haven't really, you know, been approached by any bankers, or you just feel like maybe you're out there and don't know who to talk to, but you'd like to sell and you'd like to know what it's worth, because maybe your kids don't want to take over the business. Maybe they don't want to run it. So you're going to be left with an asset and they're not going to know what to do. So maybe it's the best time to think about selling it. And if you've thought about that, then here's what you need to do. Just do this. Pick up the phone right now and give me a call. Call this number, 866-776-8328. Again, the number to call is 866-PROTECT. Remember, we are a family-owned, we're a Bay Area company. If you just want to have a conversation about the next phase of your life, what this could look like, then give me a call. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Again, 866-PROTECT. Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say you'll only end up with after-tax money from selling your business. Is that always true? Even if you don't intend on selling your company, you should know this one. So much more good stuff's coming your way here on Protect Your Assets. Stay with us.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. If you own a business and you're thinking about what the next chapter may look like for you, you know, life after owning your business, then you'll definitely want to stay with us for the entire show today, because we're going through things you need to do to get prepared to sell your business. And then what do you do when it's all over? That reminds me, if you're thinking about retiring, or maybe you're in retirement now and you're wondering what you should be doing with all this market volatility. Bonds are down, stocks are down, and this past week was certainly volatile. We saw the biggest up and down day we've seen all year. If you own a business, then here's something that's interesting. This is something known as our They Say segment, and this is what we do once a week, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All right, so here's one they say. They say that your business should be priced based on the income it earns. But could it be a bit more involved than that? Or what are the taxes that are going to be owed? Well, yeah, most definitely. Realize that people use different methods to price your company, and realize that taxes are going to be a critical part of that transaction as you start to put that together. So let's start out with valuing and coming up with a price. Well, one way is to compare the value of a publicly traded company that's similar to yours to your privately held business. Another way you could do it is look at acquisitions of similar size companies like yours with what's been selling lately compared to yours. Now, this is obviously public information you need to find. Sometimes it's not public. But when it is, that's a way that we do get numbers. So look at that. A third way we do this is we use a method that's known as a discounted cash flow analysis. Oh boy. All right. So what that means is it's the value based on anticipated future cash flows that your business would receive. The longer you've been in business and the more predictable the future cash flow can be estimated, well, usually the better price should be. We had a lot of people who came through the pandemic, and after things started to normalize and get back to smoking business again, doing way better than they were doing before. A lot of questions about, well, do you think now's a good time to sell the business because I have a bad year there because of part of COVID? Well, I think that it's not necessarily a negative thing because everyone sort of went through the same thing. And as you know, if you have a history of business, maybe you've been in business 20, 30, 40 years, buyers generally look at that history and they're willing to pay multiples of value based on your earnings. And a very typical term that's used, you're going to hear Bounder to Back, and if you're in business, you know what this is. It's called EBITDA. It stands for earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. And that's typically the number that gets multiplied by a certain multiple to come up with a price that you ultimately sell your business for. Now, what are some things that buyers want? Well, of course, they want a strong fundamental business. They want loyal customers and not ones that are too highly concentrated, because if you lose one of your customers and it's a big one, then that's bad. They also like that your company has better margins maybe than competitors or other people in their space, meaning you're doing something maybe better than somebody else's. Usually those sort of things get higher multiples, particularly if you have a unique product, a unique idea. Obviously that'll drive the price up as well. The sale of your business will most likely have some hefty tax implications as well. So think about it this way. Most small businesses that we come across, they're organized as a pass-through entity, like an S corporation or an LLC, also known as a limited liability company. Those earnings every year, as you know, they pass through that entity to your personal tax return as the owner, and then you show that on your return. If you're a C corporation, then you'll pay taxes at the corporate level before any earnings are passed on to you or to other shareholders that may own part of the company. The proceeds from a sale of a pass-through entity, like an LLC, are only taxed once when owners pay their personal federal income taxes, rather than potentially twice if you have a C corporation. And again, remember, for a C corporation, you're going to get taxed at the corporate level. And then again, when the shareholder receives their income, they're going to pay taxes on the income they get from that corporation. So you could be looking at multiple levels of tax there. This all gets down to the transaction structure, whether or not you go with, say, an LLC or an S-corp versus a C-corp. But again, these things can be dealt with way before it's too late, and time is your friend here. So make sure, you know, if you have time, do it while you have time to think these things through, because that can just end up putting a lot more money in your pocket. Like what? Well, in general, you should try to structure your deal so that more of those proceeds, more of that gain, comes out as a long-term capital gain. That rate right now, usually on this type of a sale, will be around 20% federal. And that's a heck of a lot better than when you're looking at the federal ordinary income tax of, say, 37%. So you could save yourself quite a bit of money there just by structuring this properly. So then when you receive that fund at the end of the day, sure, you're going to pay your taxes, but it's going to be a lot less. Now, there's some other assets that could transfer as part of that sale as well. Maybe you have a life insurance policy. Maybe there was some retirement accounts, things like that. So there's other ways and other things you need to think about from a tax perspective as you start to transition those assets out from the company to you to use in your retirement. And remember, the form of any sort of a payout is all part of the negotiating process. And most buyers are pretty flexible when it comes down to that. Some of the deals that I see, most popular one for a seller would be where the buyer pays you all cash. This puts the least amount of risk on you. Typically, if a private equity firm is approaching you right now, or a competitor being financed by a private equity firm, then you're more likely to get some cash up front. I'd encourage you to get anywhere from 50 to 60% if you could, maybe reach for 70 as well. The difference will be made up in equity. You're going to get equity in this new company that's being created. And then, of course, you're taking that risk that works out, that those new companies that are combined ultimately work out by the people who are controlling them, not you, as you know, because you're going to be out of there. So you don't have to work with the law firm, by the way. So the buyer usually will come to you and say, well, we recommend you use this firm, and that's it. And you don't have to use that law firm, even if they say, you know, we recommend you do that. You don't. Attorney's fees for this sort of transaction can be anywhere from $800,000 to over several million dollars in fees when you're looking at a $30 to $75 million sale of a business. You don't have to, you know, you're going to have to pay those fees. So if you want to know what some alternatives are, well, here we go. We have experience, our company does, in these types of deals, and we can help you with the full package, I'll call it, not just making the deal happen. If you want to know more about this, then give me a call right now and get a second opinion before you make an irrevocable decision that you might later regret. It's easy, it's painless, it's complimentary, and we do all the heavy lifting. So if you want to know more about this, give me a call. The number is 866-PROTECT. Again, you can remove the gray area wondering if you forgot something. Take action now. Pick up the phone. Call 866-776-8328 to talk to me right now. Again, 866-776-8328, and find out maybe what you don't know. Selling your business will be a whole lot easier if you know how you'll support your lifestyle after the sale. Coming up next, I'll get into some things you should think about before you sign anything. It always pays you to keep attuned right here to protect your assets. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you're listening this morning to Protect Your Assets. And isn't that name right now so relevant when the stock market's been bouncing around all over the place? This past week, we saw the most volatility we've seen in a very, very long time. Bond market, NASDAQ, they're all off pretty significantly for the year. And if you're just wondering what to do, then you got to go listen to my podcast. You can find that if you use Spotify or iTunes. Just in the little search glass, just type in Protect Your Assets. And right there each week, we download our market segment where I spend about 7 to 8 minutes going over what happened this past week. What are some critical support levels you need to be keeping in mind when it comes to your portfolio, if you're watching that sort of thing? And then what I think is going to happen here in the future. And I did say there's going to be more volatility. I expect that. I did give you a support level in there. So if you missed it, go check it out. Go check it out, the Protect Your Assets podcast. And if you like it, please tell a friend. If you're just joining us and you own your own business, well, one of the biggest things you can decide is selling it. I saw a movie this past week. I don't know if you saw the Gucci movie where the Gucci family went through selling their business, sometimes in a hostile way. And it just shows you how it can be very complex if something were to happen to you, if somebody in your family wanted your business and took you out. I mean, these sort of things happen, even if you want to sell it, because maybe your kids don't want to run it. Maybe they have no business sense. They don't like your business. They don't want to be in your business. They don't want to, you know, take over the family business. This happens all the time. And so if that's the situation, you're going to have to make some decisions about what you're going to do with it. And it's much better to do it while you're sane than when you're not, or you're not here. So we are talking this morning about some things you need to know before you go to sell your business. And we've been discussing how you may value that business, what sort of taxes you could expect to pay, what sort of transaction that might look like, so many documents involved in that. But what I see happen a lot, whether it be a business sale, it could be an athlete. I've worked with lots of athletes who all of a sudden get a big chunk of money. It really does, in some cases, change people's lives in a major way. There are a lot more problems. You know, people say this, you know, you have more money, you have more problems. And that's sometimes true. And a lot of people think that when that quarterback or that pitcher or that basketball player signs a $60, $80, $100 million deal, that's it. You know, it's all over. Everything's great. But that's not the case. I find that a lot of my clients who come from very humble beginnings, that did not include any sort of family money, any sort of fame or fortune, when they get to that position in life, selling the business can be like grieving in a way, because most of my clients have really built these businesses up over a very long period of time, sometimes multiple generations, through their own blood, sweat, tears, you name it. It's not easy. We know that running a business, certainly here in California, is not easy, and it's not easy to let go of that. But moving on may be a lot easier if you know how you're going to fill your time after the sale. And so many of my clients wait a few years before they sell. And what they do is they may continue to work for the company, say, on a part-time basis after the sale has gone. A lot of buyers like to keep you as the owner around just to figure out how things work and have your input. Certainly, that is important. But you also may be a consultant. Maybe you start up a consulting type business where you start to advise other smaller businesses how they can grow and prosper and do well and think about things that maybe they didn't even know because they hadn't had that experience, but you did. So if that's something you're thinking about doing, then I would recommend you work all of these details out in writing before you enter into that transaction. And certainly during the negotiation, if you want to be kept in mind as part of the business and you want to be involved in the board or have some types of decisions, you want to put those in writing in that contract, because what's going to happen is once that's over, someone else is going to start making decisions for the company that you built. And that may be painful for you to sit through and see. So I'd really recommend writing down what's important to you, sort of your no gives, you know, things that you're not going to give up on, and fight hard for those through the transaction. Now, it could be an entirely different line of work or service that you go into. I've seen that where maybe you own a particular type of business and you go into something completely different because maybe it's a hobby that you like to do or you identify with that and you have the skills that helped you get to where you were that can help other people who may be struggling in other areas of business with the same sort of challenges that you did as you were working your way up. And so this can also provide you with a different kind of satisfaction. You probably won't be paid for that, but at that point you don't really care. You know, you're doing this because you enjoy seeing younger people grow and do well, and that makes you feel good. And so that might be something that you end up doing as well. And so again, if you need someone to talk to about this is what we do. We do this on a regular basis. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of clients go through this, and we'd love to help you. But if you need help, you really need to develop a strategy, and you need a strategy to maximize the amount that you will get from that business transaction, because it's going to be fairly large. It could be one of the biggest transactions you've ever seen, again, in your lifetime. And it will have certainly not only tax implications, but family implications as you start to look at how you're going to transfer that wealth through the next generation and the generation after that, possibly, if that is important to you. So are you really confident that your current advisor is helping you navigate this confusing and volatile time right now if you're thinking about making these decisions? For anyone who's thinking about this, who's thinking about this big decision, particularly right now, the type of income that you create from this strategy could be really important. It could actually be taxed in an entirely different way if you work on it up front, which will then provide much more income and ultimately assets for your heirs at the end of the day. So you want to think about these things well in advance before you get into any sort of transaction like this. You want to map it out and look at it before you make any decisions. Sound good? All right, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a big inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth. That's it. Now in your mind, close your eyes. Picture, if you're driving, picture a day when you don't have to worry about who's going to take care of that customer anymore. Picture a day when you're sitting on the deck of a five-star luxury resort. The infinity pool looks over the light blue azul water, and you're trying to decide if you want that island punch before dinner. Picture a day when you can relax, travel, and do all the things that you've always wanted to do without that pressure. You know the one in the back of your mind. It all starts with our 15-minute virtual coaching call. Think about this. All the best athletes out there, they all had one thing in common. What was it? A great coach. Get your coaching call right now with my team of experts who are ready to help you right now with this tough decision. Give us a call, 866-PROTECT. Again, that number, 866-PROTECT. Pick up the phone, talk to me now, 866-PROTECT, and request your meeting, 15-minute virtual call, to get an unbiased second opinion from a fiduciary. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together a great show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer. And of course, all my fabulous producers back there, Phil, Brett. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show on the Protect Your Assets radio network. I'm David Hollander, the Sandman. Have a great weekend. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.